Today's a great day to go outside for a walk. Did well in my final classes, got A's, graduated. I haven't forgotten anything. Ah, shit, the podcast. Hi, I'm Joel Garcia. Welcome to the Pop Culture Shuffle. Crap. On today's show, I have a few things to talk about. First up, a triple dose of film reviews. I give my quick hit reviews on both Disney's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers as well as the Bob's Burgers movie. Then, for my third review, I finally talk about Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore, but in a very experimental way. And finally, I talk about some fan fiction in which Garfield the Cat goes to Taco Bell. But first, let's go to the movies. Well, the past few weeks have been admittedly very active for me. Mainly by that of me finishing up my semester at San Diego City College. So unfortunately, a lot of things I wanted to talk about fell by the wayside. At best, I was able to get one episode out of the way, but as you probably noticed, barely anything else did. So to make up for that, and since it's been a while, let's do some quick hits, in which I briefly talk about the things that I wanted to talk about, but frankly don't have enough time. Or in this case, well, it's been a while. So with that, let's do some quick hits. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. One of Disney Plus's latest original films is not exactly based on the original TV show from the 90s, but instead more of a satire in which it takes the Who Framed Roger Rabbit formula, but puts Chip and Dale in it. It does the same thing that Roger Rabbit did for cartoons in the 30s and 40s, but in this case does it for, well, every other show and film that came out since then. So you get to see not only Chip and Dale, but also say other cartoon characters, and even some that aren't from Disney, surprisingly enough. There are way too many cameos to bring up, and some of them work, some of them are a little bit abrupt, and of course there's the infamous appearance of Ugly Sonic. Some might be disappointed that the film is not a faithful adaptation of the original animated series. But to be fair, the show itself never exactly had a huge narrative in any form. It wasn't like, say, The Owl House or Gravity Falls. It was more of a standalone episodic series that had the occasional villain, but nothing, say, of an overarching storyline. Also, it's been 3 decades, so if you were to do a continuation, you would have had a very niche audience. The animation itself is also really good, and while people might be upset over how certain characters look in this film, it works, mainly by how some of them are traditionally animated, some are CG, and then there's the character of Chip, who because he interacts heavily with live-action characters, has to be this weird mixture of cel-shaded, where he looks traditionally animated, but is somewhat CG. As for the voice cast, Andy Samberg and John Mulaney are really good in their roles. Some might be upset that they're not doing their traditional sped-up voices, but they do show up, and in those cases, are actually voiced by their original voice actors from the TV show. Speaking of, the entire cast does reappear in this film in some form or another. The most prominent of the original voice actors is Tress MacNeille, who voiced Gadget in the TV show, and was the only actor to reprise her role directly in this film, in more than, say, a cameo. The other voice actors also appear, but in different levels. Corey Burton does reprise the role of a sped-up Chip and Zipper, but only in brief spurts, while Jim Cummings doesn't play Monterey Jack, but he does get the opportunity to voice several other characters, including some of his more recognizable roles. If this film had any flaws, it would possibly be Eric Bana's performance as Monterey Jack, coming across as a bit, well, redundant, as well as the film's antagonist, Sweet Pete, having a backstory that eerily aligns with a certain voice actor from a classic Disney film. And I'll leave it at that. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is a really good film and definitely worth a watch. whether or not you were a fan of the original TV show or just of Disney animation. Also, is the next best thing to a sequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers streams exclusively on Disney+. The Bob's Burgers Movie. Based on the long-running Fox anime series, the Bob's Burgers movie surrounds the Belchers, in which they're all dealing with several issues. Bob and Linda Belcher struggle with the fact that their extension just got rejected and need to get the money to pay off their restaurant equipment. Tina struggles to give her school crush a gift, Jean can't be taken seriously as an artist, and Louise is called a baby because of her rabbit ears. And then, to make things worse, the sidewalk collapses in front of the restaurant, putting Bob's livelihood in danger. Now, the bright side about this film is that you don't need to have seen the TV show. In fact, within the first few minutes, it tells you everything you need to know about these characters. It tells you that they're a family who live in the same building as the restaurant, and their respective conflicts are quickly shown in the form of a song. Speaking of, this film is a musical. The show itself only has the occasional song within the episode, but each episode does end with a song of its own, referring to something that happened in the episode. This film takes it up a notch by having, well, full-blown musical sequences. And they work. It's especially odd to see these characters dance around like they were in a Broadway musical, especially considering how the animated series often doesn't have the characters move around that much. The songs themselves are really good, catchy, and memorable. Also, the fact is that the characters normally don't get to move around so frequently on the TV show. If anything, they just stand around, move, and maybe have some crazy movement once in a while. Which leads us to the animation, which is surprisingly fluid and energetic. The characters are allowed now to move around, bounce, dance, and even do things that you wouldn't expect to see on a TV show, or at the very least, not that often. It might seem jarring for anyone, especially if, say, you've watched the show for 12 seasons, jump into this film, and then be shocked by how the characters are moving and bouncing around. The voice cast itself is really great, and surprisingly, it doesn't feature any celebrity guest appearances in this film, aside from the ones that were already established on the TV show. They all do a great job in this film. Especially H. John Benjamin, Dan Mintz, Eugene Merman, John Roberts, and Kristen Shaw as the Belchers. The plot itself is really good, especially because with these characters, they follow up on seasons of anticipation and build-up, such as Tina's conflict, as well as Louise. It even explains the backstory of her rabbit ears. Without giving a lot away, it's a surprisingly touching moment that actually expands upon a couple of the characters, especially of a character we've never seen on the show. The Bob's Burgers movie is a really good example of how you can translate a show to film. It defies expectations by using the pre-established characters in their pre-established setting to tell a really good and fun story, rather than, say, bring in a celebrity or have them go on a cliche road trip where everything goes wrong. The Bob's Burgers movie is a really good film and I highly recommend it. The Bob's Burgers movie is now in theaters. Now it's time for me to do something a little bit different. So originally, I wanted to do a commentary on Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore, as in one of those DVD commentaries in which you hear someone talk about the film while seeing it. There was just one problem. There wasn't that much to talk about. There are several gaps in this film in which I recorded dead silence because it was that boring. So instead, enjoy clips from my commentary in which I ramble on about why I don't like this film. Okay, and Wizarding World. I find it to be a really dumb brand name because I guess they didn't want to use Harry Potter because then you'd be asking, where's Harry? And let's face it, I'd be asking too. Okay, so now we're here at a train, and I'm not gonna recap the whole thing just when I feel it's necessary. I'm just gonna admit this right now, I honestly don't remember the crimes of Grindelwald. I intentionally didn't watch the film again before seeing this one. Not out of purpose or intention, it's just that movie was so awful, I didn't want to watch it again. And it wasn't Johnny Depp's fault, it was just, the film had so many problems that made it horribly unwatchable. To use a quote from a Simpsons episode, and I do mean one of the good ones, a bunch of stuff just happened. And I will admit, by the time I left the theater back then, I had no idea what was even happening. Oh look, the actual main character of the film. Oh wait, I forget who's the main character of this franchise called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Who the heck is, oh yeah, it's the Flash. Oh look, the title, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Okay, I'm sorry, whose fucking movie is this? Is it the Beast? Is it Dumbledore? Why is Fantastic Beasts so tiny? What the fuck are we talking about in this damn film? And now we cut to Grindelwald's castle. Just like any bad guy, he has a fucking castle. Well, so after all of this pursuit, getting this weird Bambi look-like, what is he going to do with it? Kill it! Because apparently that was the whole thing! Wanted, Grindelwald. Huh, and he changed his face too. I used to be a fan of Harry Potter, but I think it's safe to understand why I'm not anymore. You know, I think the other problem I have with this film is how it treats this whole situation with Dumbledore being, oh, the worst thing ever, and like, gee, I wonder if he will die, when you know that he's not going to die because he shows up in Harry fucking Potter! Yo, but Dumbledore, was she trying to go for a Yara Wizard Harry callback? Because if that was the case, they fucking failed! Okay, so apparently this film takes place around a year or so after the first one. Bullshit! Why do you need Jacob, of all people? Like, it's just, he's the one guy who knows about magic, and that's pretty much it! Well, it took an hour and 20 minutes in, but we're finally at fucking Hogwarts, and something is happening in this film. I mean, it's not much, but it's still the most exciting part of the film. Even if it runs for only like 7 minutes. Okay, so after saving the world, and Grindelwald just poofs away, Jacob gets married, Dumbledore stands outside his bakery menacingly, and then just leaves. Without even a goodbye. And that's all, folks!
Fuck this movie!
Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore is available to own on digital and stream on HBO Max. Now it's time for another piece of fan fiction, and this time, we're going back to Garfield. Sort of. Now, in the past few times I've talked about Garfield, it's always been, well, one of the bad fanfic writings by Shakespeare Hemingway. But I should really note then my thoughts on Garfield the Cat. I like the character, he's funny, goofy, campy, and was one of the first TV shows I watched as a kid. If anything, I'm just not a fan of the later productions. I found the movies terrible, the animated sequels to be lackluster, and well, the Garfield show was a bit dull, mostly because Frank Welker's take on the late Lorenzo music just came across as off. As for that Garfield movie with Chris Pratt, I'll hold my judgment on it. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up from Bill Murray. Now, today's fanfic doesn't appear to be based on any particular TV show or even comic strip. It's just a story with Garfield the Cat and John. However, it's one of those stories where I need to censor a lot of it. Now, the reason I want to point that out is because when it comes to writings by other people, I tend to avoid using swear words. Sometimes I do it for comedic effect, such as whenever Iron Man swears, but other times just to show that, well, I would never use these particular words. Now sure, I will freely use words like shit or fuck, but when it comes to these fanfic writers, they tend to go a little bit further. So with that said, let's get to the story, Garfield Goes to Taco Bell by, and this is the actual name of the author on fanfiction.net, My Heart Feels Dead Inside. Something I should note right now is that the author writes his name out in all caps. And that is something he prevalently does in this story, in which whenever he wants someone to emphasize something or shout, it's in all caps. The synopsis, well, there is no synopsis, it's just Garfield Goes to Taco Bell. It's just the title. Now, I am aware that there's another infamous story involving Taco Bell called Dipper Goes to Taco Bell, a fan fiction based on the Disney show Gravity Falls. From what I'm seeing, they have nothing in common, it's just Taco Bell. And I want to bring this up. I like Taco Bell. I think Taco Bell is a great fast food place. Is it authentic Mexican food? No! You can find authentic Mexican food either from, say, any authentic Mexican food restaurant, or just say, going to Mexico. With that said, let's get to the story, which again, contains a lot of swearing. Garfield was infuriated at his bowl of food. He picked up his bowl and stomped on over to the kitchen where John Arbuckle sat.
John, what the f*** is this f***ing literal f***? You served me, you disgusting obscure piece of s***.
That's just how f***ing Jim Davis draws your f***ing food. Like diarrhea. Enjoy, stupid f***.
What the f*** did you just call me?
Roared Garfield as he slammed his food bowl down onto the counter to shatter the dish.
You bastard!
I called you a stupid f***ing b***h, you stupid
b***h. Garfield was so enraged that he growled loudly before passing out for how much energy he exerted from his unbridled rage. Hours later, Garfield woke up. John Arbuckle had brought home Taco Bell. Garfield plopped his entire body into the box and began to devour the tacos, only to furiously spit them out.
What the f*** is this literal f***ing sh**?
It's f***ing Taco Bell, what the f*** did you expect?
I f***ing expect this processed meat, not literal f***ing diarrhea.
Garfield ran over to John and slapped him. Oh gee, f***, wow, as usual. Said John apathetically, unaffected by the slap. Garfield pulled out a shotgun and placed on sunglasses.
We're going to Taco Bell.
John sighed and grabbed the car keys to drive his beloved cat over to the Pesuedo Mexican fast food restaurant. They arrived at Taco Bell and Garfield plunged himself out the car window, shattering the glass. Garfield! Shouted John, replacing the car window's expensive, you f***ing ass. Garfield then threw himself into the Taco Bell restaurant, shattering the windows in the building as well. Sighed John as he searched for a parking space. Inside the Taco Bell, Garfield let out a mighty roar.
You bastards,
he shouted.
Taco Bell is not real Mexican food, nor does it taste like it. But it's supposed to not taste like literal f***.
The cashier at the register sighed.
Okay, sir, so you want a chalupa?
Garfield went silent for a bit.
Yes, please.
He eventually responded while reaching to his fur to pull out a wallet full of dollar bills to pay the cashier. He grabbed his order and went to a table to sit down and eat his chalupa. A child ran by him, clutching a burrito, getting its contents all over the floor and spattering some into Garfield.
Eeeh!
Shrieked the horrid child.
everywhere. We feast on s***.
Garfield pressed his palm into his forehead, feeling defeated.
I'm getting old.
He sighed as he observed the horrifying customers toss food around, creating a chaotic mess for the poor employees to clean. John Arbuckle stepped into the building frantically searching around, but then he spotted Garfield and smiled with relief.
Garfield, there you are! I thought I lost you! I was scared for a moment!
Garfield looked up and smiled at the familiar face, feeling at home.
You know, John, I may be getting old, exhausted, and may never really ever get any better, but I'm thankful you're still in my life. You're my best friend.
John could not understand cat speak and hugged Garfield.
Aww, you're purring!
I love you, John.
The two went to a McDonald's to buy two Happy Meals for the Pokemon toys that were being promoted for the month, and then they went home to watch television. When I began reading the story, I assumed it would evolve into something moronic or vulgar. Instead, what we wind up seeing is a story in which Garfield goes to Taco Bell, but after seeing a kid just throw around a burrito just feels really old. And in a way, it just felt a bit too sweet for Garfield. Not that Garfield can't be sweet, of course. I've seen a lot of TV specials in which Garfield has had his down moments. Such as Here Comes Garfield, Garfield on the Town, and well, Garfield is Nine Lives. So the way the story ends just feels a bit bizarre. I do find it interesting how the story ends with these two going from Taco Bell to McDonald's. I would also assume the author is just not a huge fan of Taco Bell, which is understandable. Though I'm surprised that they use Taco Bell and not say the more obvious joke of, say, Chipotle. Compared to other Garfield stories I've read, this might be the best one I've done so far. Mostly because it somewhat portrays Garfield far more accurately than, say, the Shakespeare-Hemingway stories. Again, in those stories, Garfield's been portrayed as some amalgamation of Rambo and Chuck Norris. But here, he's somewhat portrayed a bit more like a cat. Well, besides the whole breaking through the car window into a Taco Bell, but that's besides the point. This story was a fun read, and it's just really funny how it starts from being extremely vulgar to heartwarming, which is something you don't see in most stories, since it always starts off in a very lighthearted note, and then it evolves into some edgelord bullshit. But here, we have a story that starts off really crazy, but then ends on a very sweet note. Garfield Goes to Taco Bell by My Heart Feels Dead Inside is available to read on fanfiction.net. That is all the time we have for today's show. If you would like to know when the next episode comes out, remember to follow or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite stream provider. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Joel Garcia 9. Until next time, thank you for listening.